Let us turn for a short moment this morning to words we shall find in the chapter of God's Word we were privileged to read together. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, and I would like to read from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Malachi 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that brought thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Especially the words in verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. These are indeed most encouraging and wonderful words presented to us here in Scripture. And if you or I experience spiritual problems, especially in our lives, and we all do at one time or another, for the world we are living in at this present time is known in Scripture as the veil of tears. There have been many tears, and many of us have shed many tears since the day we were born into this world. And as we know, there are tears of sadness and there are tears of joy. But tears of sadness is something that we'd all like to avoid. But alas, we can't while we're in this present world. For when we study our own lives in the light of God's Word, when we study the life of the world at large, especially our own nation, undoubtedly, it brings sadness and tears to our hearts. But God, in His infinite mercy, as He declared here in this chapter that we have read, He experienced the same problem with Israel of old. Even the Levitical priesthood, who were set apart by God in the wilderness to deal with the spiritual needs of the people, they had forsaken God. The leaders of the church of that day, they had sold their birthright as Esau did for a mess of pottage. And that's what we are doing. The moment we compromise the Word of God in any way with the world, we are selling our birthright. We are robbing God. And that's what God is saying here. You have robbed me. I have presented to you a bountiful table in this wilderness of all the mercies that are at my disposal, all the blessings, and you've not received them because of your unbelief. You have rejected them. Isn't that what they did with Jesus when he offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross for the benefit of his church and his people? He bought them with a great price. He bore our sins in his own body in the tree. And as I say, I was said so many years before, He was numbered with the transgressors. Do you realize this, my dear friend? That Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was made sin. He was made sin for you and for me. He bore our sins in His own body in the tree. And this was the climax of that feast that He set in the wilderness. It was as if it were, speaking in modern terms, the icing on the cake. The Son of God came and He bore the sins of His people. What a great redemption, what a great atonement He has brought to mankind. And God would have been absolutely just in casting you and I into outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. God had every right to ask for the death of Isaac. And as somebody said, they couldn't accept that God would ask Abraham to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And the reply was given, God had every right to even demand the life of Abraham. For every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God, both in this life and the life to come. Don't let us play with sin. So many of us do. We play with it. We don't realize that the greatest disease that ever came on mankind is that word sin. It brings with it, as a flood, the sufferings, the physical and the spiritual sufferings. And it comes in like a flood upon us. And yet we treat sin so lightly. But Christ Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin. And this is a problem that the Lord experienced with the church throughout all the generations. And especially here, Malachi brings it forth, that the people, even the Levites, who had spurned the worship of God, rather than offering animals that were without spot and blemish, as they were asked to do, they had to give the best to the Lord. It's only right we should. But the Levites were compromising, the priests. They were offering up the lame bullock, the second hand. They were offering it to the Lord. And this, as you can well imagine, perplexed the Lord. He said, "And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and their wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And this is something that's missing today, so much in our lives. And if we examine ourselves in the light of God's word, we will see that this fear of God is either absent or it's very, very remote in our, very small in our lives. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not a servile fear, but it's a fear of disappointing God, a fear of grieving God. That's the fear. And that fear brings with it humility And that fear brings with it grace. That fear brings with it love and loyalty. And this is what's missing. The fear of God, the scriptures tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. And if you're wanting wisdom, and I'm wanting wisdom, we all do. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and he got it from God. And the wisdom we desire is the wisdom that will give us the spirit of discernment to discern what is right and what is wrong in God's sight. Then shall he return, says the Lord. This is when the people were converted. But their whole life was transformed. They were made new creatures in Christ. This is what the Lord said. Then shall ye return from your wickedness, from your adultery, from your evil ways, and discern between the righteous and wicked. See, the present moment that men and women are living in such spiritual darkness, even the church. There's a veil over all nations, the Bible tells us. And that veil is hiding us from the things of God. That veil is numbing our spiritual consciences. And consequently, we can't understand. It never enters into our mind what is right and what is wrong in God's eyes. But when the Spirit comes, he removes that veil. And the Spirit is light, and that light penetrates the innermost recesses of our souls, of our spiritual being, which was under spiritual darkness since the day we were born. My mother also, the Bible says, my mother also me conceived in guiltiness and sin. And spiritual, and that sin brought spiritual darkness. It numbed our spiritual conscience to our need of God. But the Lord's saying, when I come to you, to the soul, in the person of the Holy Spirit, I come describing myself, revealing myself as the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But men prefer darkness rather than light because they are evil. The evil life is undoubtedly a life of darkness. Of darkness. How we need the light to penetrate our spiritual being. And then when that happens, then the Lord says, then shall you return and discern between righteous and wicked. I will give you the spirit of discernment. And then when that spirit is given to you, you will have the grace and the wisdom to discern what is right and what is wrong between the wicked and the righteous. Is that not the spirit that we should be praying earnestly for? Oh, how we need it, especially in our day. The spirit that would enable us to discern him between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That's what we need. And only God can supply it. Now this portion of scripture, which now presents itself to our view, is all glorious within. We've got so much to learn from the Bible. My dear friend, don't neglect the reading of the Bible. These Bibles were given to us. It's the Word of God contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And so often they're sitting in our shelves gathering dust. And the first thing we aim for every day is a newspaper. The first thing in our hand every morning should be the Word of God, and the last thing at night. And if we pray over the Scriptures, then they'll become a tonic and food for our souls. That's the food of life. The Bible is the bread of life. And if you are not feeding upon the Word, and if I'm not feeding upon the Word, then we're starving our souls. And how desperate that is. It's a precious Word. And we never know the day when that Word will be removed from us. It happened in this country not so long ago, when the Bibles were chained to the pulpits. They were so scarce. Treasure the Word. It is food and drink to your soul. And this portion of Scripture, as I said, presents itself to us and makes the Word so precious. It is precious to the souls of God's people. It is all glorious within its content. And it was composed here by Malachi, whose name means messenger. The last prophet in the Old Testament was Malachi. And the first prophet in the New Testament was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Behold, he said, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way of the Lord. Isn't that what John the Baptist did? He prepared the way for the Lord in the wilderness. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come in his temple. He prepared the way of the Lord. And Malachi means messenger, a messenger from heaven. And all who preach the gospel, and all who work within the church of God, they are messengers from heaven. And they work earnestly and conscientiously with a heavenly messenger, the angels of God. They are the ministering servants. And they work together. And the angels of God are so earnest in that work. And so are God's messengers. They're so earnest to see the reaction of men and women to the gospel when they sit under it. So Malachi was a messenger. And this prophet was so famous, they tell us, that some supposed him to be an angel. What a description. When God looks upon us who profess to be God's people, what do they see? Do they see a man and a woman representing an angel? Or do they see a man and a woman being a hypocrite, selling their birthright? This prophet was so famous that, as I said, some supposed him to be an angel. He lived after the building, we are told, of the second temple, and was a contemporary of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah. And the blessed prophet, and these were wonderful men, what gifts were given. And they had no fear, because the Lord, they had no fear of man. The Bible tells us the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare does? It ties you down. It traps you. It doesn't help you. It stops you expressing yourself. The fear of man bringeth a snare. How we need the fear of God. And this is what Malachi had. The blessed prophet did lift up his voice like a trumpet. That's what we need today. Men and women, boys and girls, who will lift up their voice like Malachi did and the prophets of old, like a trumpet. You know the noise a trumpet makes. The forces use the trumpet, still use the trumpet to this day, to herald news, to advance or to retreat. This is what we need. Some of the trumpets that we hear today have a false note. And that's why we need the spirit of discernment to enable us to understand what the message is, the true message. Yes, he lifted up his voice like a trumpet, and he told the Jewish nation of their sins. This is something else we lack. We're frightened to speak of sin today. We're frightened of telling the people that they are sinners. They are wallowing in the mire of sin and iniquity. In case we upset them. Well, my dear friend, I'd rather upset you today than be held for your soul falling into perdition, lost. If you ever saw a man or a woman blind, walking towards the end of a cliff, what would your action be in such a case? Will you try to stop them? Will you stand back in case you offended them? No. You would dive forward and you would lay hold of them. Or you would shout, stop, stop, stop. And the cry of the prophet today is, repent and be converted. Turn ye, why will ye die? Turn ye. Forsake your ways and seek the living and true God. And this is what the prophet did. He told the Jewish nation of their sins. Our sins are so numerous. And they're weighing us down. But the problem is that when we're outside of Christ, we don't appreciate that burden, that weightiness, because our consciences are numbed to the invasion of sin within our being. And oh, when the Spirit of God comes, as he did to so many of us, he awakens our consciences. And then when that happens, sin becomes a burden. You realize then your awfulness. You realize what your sins did. They not only separated you from God for all those years, but they also brought the Son of God to the cross. And when you're brought alive in the Spirit to that situation, it's then that you say, O Lord, have mercy upon me, for I'm a sinner. Sin becomes a burden. Now, as you are sitting here in God's house today, and praise God you're here, do you feel that burden within your own soul? Do you feel it? That loathsomeness, that hatred to sin and all appearance of evil. Are you yearning in your soul to be rid of it? Cast thou thy burden on the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Then the psalmist goes on and says, delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust, it bring to pass shall he. Oh, my dear friends, if you are unconverted here today, seek the face of Christ. He is waiting there with outstretched arms, with a nail-pierced hand, to receive you unto himself. He is known as wisdom in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom. Wisdom is calling you. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. He's calling you today, this very minute. And you're perhaps here today and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, if I only saw my name in the Bible, it might give me more encouragement. Like the name of John, Peter, the apostles, the prophets. My dear friend, your name is in the Bible. If you are a son and daughter of Adam, and you're here today, the scriptures are saying to you, unto you, O men and women I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when you come to Christ, you then are a jewel in his crown. Why are you a jewel? Because God recognizes you in Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved. In your sinful, unrepented nature, you're naked in front of God, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. And when God looks upon you in that state, or that state, what does he see? He sees sin, not repented of. And that sin, unless it's repented of, will bring damnation to your soul. But if you are in Christ today, you are precious in the sight of God. Why are you precious? Because when God looks upon you, what does he see? He doesn't see you in your nakedness. He sees you clothed from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot in the robe of righteousness. The robe of Christ. And when God looks upon that soul redeemed, washed, redeemed in the blood of Christ, he smiles. And he declares, as he did when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, this is my beloved son and daughter in whom I am well pleased. They are the apple of mine eye. They are the jewels of my crown. They are precious. That's how God looks upon the saved soul. They are precious. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And God's people speak of this. And I wish God's people would speak more and more of their soul's experiences. We should dwell on that continually. And it should be of such interest to one another to hear how the Lord is dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should rejoice in it. It's food for our souls. It's encouragement. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And when God sees his people talking to one another about their souls' experiences, we're told here, and the Lord hearkened, the Lord listened and heard it. And then when he heard it, he opened a book of remembrance and he jotted all their experiences down in this book. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. There's nothing more precious and more satisfying to the soul than offering up our desires to God, for things that are agreeable to His will, and also to thank God. We reflect upon the years that have gone by. Many of us had many years have gone. But when we reflect upon those years, as all God's people do, we can truly say, my, 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 He does all things well. He has brought us through the fire. He has brought us through the storms. The physical storms and the spiritual storms. And when we reflect upon those experiences, we can conclude that the Lord is preparing us for the great inheritance He has in store for us. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, eternal in the heavens. Oh, my dear friends, I yearn to see you there. I yearn to see you with the blood of Christ sprinkled on the lintels of your heart. I yearn to see you shining as a jewel in the Master's crown. And may you maybe experience times of doubt and times of fear, but these are only visitations that God is using to shape you for the inheritance that you are going to receive. As Murray McChain said, the more you cut the diamond, and God's people is a jewel, they are diamonds, they are precious. And Murray McChain said, the more you cut the diamond, the brighter it shines. And how true that is in the life of many of God's people. The more they're cut, the more they're shaped, the more facets they have, the brighter they shine. So if you are going through trials and tribulations, don't despair. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The Lord knoweth. The minister doesn't know. The elder doesn't know. Nobody knows. But the Lord knoweth. And if your trust is in the Lord today, and I trust it is, then you are accepted in the Beloved. And they shall be mine, he says. What a glorious promise that is. They shall be mine. What did he say there in John 17? Father, I will. It's my desire that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory. Father, I will. And his prayer is there today for each one of you here. Father, I will. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. All we're yearning, God's people are yearning for that day. Are you yearning for it? When you shall see Him face to face. At the moment we're seeing through, as Paul said, we're seeing through a glass darkly. Well, we're in the world. We're seeing shadows of what Christ is going to be like. But when the day dawns and the shadows flee away, we will see Him face to face. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. If you are in Christ today, you are as a son and a daughter. Beloved, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serve him. Oh, my dear friends, let us serve the Lord wherever we are. Whether it be in our family, in our workplace, or wherever. Serve the Lord faithfully. Be diligent in season and out of season. And he will acknowledge you. He will honour you. Those that honour me, he says, I will honour. And what a glorious comfort it is to be accepted in the Beloved. Ah, we're having so many warnings, especially the day that we're living in, of the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death. And as death will find us, so will judgment. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Oh, yearn to be prepared to meet your God, to be a jewel in the crown of Christ. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for all that thou art doing for us. Truly, we can say thou art feeding us with the finest of the wheat. We are so privileged to hear thy word and to read it and to meditate upon it, to sing thy praises. What a privilege it is to come to the means of grace and to speak with thy people and to share soul experiences. Bless us this day. Bring us to our homes in safety. Come out with us in the evening if we are spared. Guide us in the path of thy righteousness and holiness. Prepare us for the great eternity that lies before us. Cleanse us from our sins. And all we would ask is for Christ's sake. Amen.